Richmond
and Arnie Sherman.
You're listening to What Do You Know on News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. How does this radio thing work, Arnie? Good morning to you.
Good morning. This is a show I've been waiting to do for 25 years.
How come?
Because I've lived here 25 years now, and we have not had a New York bagel, a New York schmear. We haven't had cannoli out of Manhattan. All this kind of stuff that I go back east just to feast on, we now have here, and it's courtesy of our guest today.
Les Kleinman. Les, how are you? We're breaking format.
Good, guys. Thank you for having me today. I appreciate it.
You're coming right into the intro.
That's right.
Because Arnie and I are so excited.
We're so excited. We're punting the intro and getting right into the food. Tell us a little backstory, Les. Where'd you come from? How long you been here? And why did you decide to bring the East Coast food scene right into Missoula, Montana?
Sure. So I was born and raised in Brooklyn and Staten Island in New York City. After, being raised there, I went into the Marines. I traveled for a while, for 10 years. Came back. I worked at Citigroup for 20 years. And I moved out to Montana about 7 years ago. And I live in Columbia Falls right now. And I've always wanted to live in Montana because it's just such a great state. The beauty, everything about it is just great. This people especially have been extremely welcoming and very kind to me. And basically what happened was I left Citigroup about 2.5 years ago. I took a package and said I was done with corporate America and decided what I wanted to do. And I started off with Firehouse Subs. So as of today, I own 4 Firehouse Subs locations, 2 here in Montana, Missoula and Kalispell. Then I own the one in Coeur d'Alene and Spokane. During that time, especially with COVID being around, a lot of my customers obviously hear my accent and complain about
what accent?
Yeah, really.
We don't hear any accent.
We hear nothing.
Come on, forget about it. You don't have no accent.
I feel like I'm at the ballpark.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm at Shea by the Bay.
Cold beer here. Come on.
When you were growing up, did you go to Shea Stadium?
Oh, I went to Shea Stadium a lot, Yankee Stadium. And it was just, brings back all those memories, the ballpark, the food. You can't go to a New York event without thinking about food.
Right.
Every New York event, football game, baseball game, whatever you want to do.
Hockey.
Everything.
Exactly. The garden.
The hot dogs, the knishes, the bagels.
We're interrupting your story, okay? Did we establish that what your teams are? What teams you grew up liking? Because you can't be a Yankees and a Mets.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's usually Mets, Giants, Yankees, Giants, Mets, Jets. I'm Yankees, Jets.
You're Yankees, Jets.
Jets.
Well, you did well last night.
Jets had a hell of a draft last night.
I was born in 1969, the last time they ever won the Super Bowl. So
Broadway Joe,
right. And ever since then, I've been heartbroken.
Sorry, Les.
The choke off.
Well, they had a heck of a draft. They got 3 first round picks, and all 3 of them will be starters next year. So that might do something for them. They got the best receiver in the draft for Wilson to throw to. So
that's right.
I'm excited about that for the Jets. My Giants had a great draft too. They got 2 stars.
Phenomenal.
So we're happy. New York finally scored in that sense.
Let's take a quick break. Our guest is Les Kleinman from Brooklyn Bagel and Bakery and Firehouse Subs and other things. Back after this. All right, Arnie, we are back with our guest Les Kleinman, who joined us for the intro.
So Les, you have the Firehouse Subs and now you have Brooklyn Bagel, but you also have some other business interests that you're involved in Montana as well.
Yeah, that's correct. So I own a garage company out of Kalispell, and we do, garage doors, auto lifts, and custom-built, garages. This whole bakery thing came about because, like I said, all my customers were asking for bagels. I didn't want to be in bagels. Right. I had no intention, but my customers convinced me. So I knew, though, you can't just make a bagel locally due to the water. Right? Anywhere in the Western United States, the water is too mineralized.
Yeah, people don't understand that bagels, it's all about the water.
A bagel is more boiled than it's actually baked.
Right.
Okay? And in New York, they have one of the softest water compositions going. It's a very good water system. And when you boil that bagel in the water, it activates the yeast inside.
Right.
Which makes it such a dense bagel.
Yes.
And then what we've worked out with the number one bagel maker in all of New York City, Essa Bagel, is that they would par-bake a bagel, partially bake it, get it out to me, and I will finish it off. All the cream cheeses are handmade.
What does finishing it off mean for our audience?
Sure. So basically what it is, like I said, Essa Bagel hand rolls it, they boil it, and they bake it for 5 minutes in an oven.
Got it.
They send it to me. I finish it off for 8 minutes.
It's sent to you frozen.
It's sent to me frozen. We thaw it out.
Right.
And then we bake it for 8 minutes.
I have to tell our listeners, and I think you'll have to agree. I've had the bagels.
It's amazing.
And they taste just like
It's better than Goldbelly's version.
Well,
of
no,
it
tastes like you're really in the place that made them. I mean, there are lots of times when you have half-baked things and you get them, they don't taste right. This is right. This does taste just like they're supposed to taste.
Absolutely.
Which I'm ecstatic about.
And that's it's what a I great set process. Off to do is like, you cannot do something, you know, halfway. It's got to be 100% correct or don't do it at all. So I went to the number one bagel maker. I went to the number one pastry maker.
Essa?
Italian pastry.
Ferrara.
Yeah, Ferrara's Bakery in Little Italy for 130 years.
Yeah.
These are the things you're,
don't
you
gloss over
get.
This, by the way. Don't gloss over this.
Don't gloss over
Wait, hold
the
on.
Ferraris.
Before you go to Ferrara's. So Essa Bagel, this concept or this plan, you know, of parboiling and freezing and then sending, who developed that?
Essa Bagel developed it. I asked for the amount of bagels, and they worked on it, and they got it to a point where we can work together to get this out.
So you are the pilot for Essa?
Basically, for this scale, yes, I am the pilot for Essa.
And Arnie and I can say without reservation,
yes,
that it tastes just like what you would get
if you walked into a New York store that or New York deli that had Essa bagels and you ordered. It's actually better because he has them in these plastic bins and they're warm and you're
I have an idea
it,
for that, but
you're eating it before you walk out the door.
The only difference,
at least I'm eating it before
I said to Les when I first met him, I said, the only difference is when buying a bagel here, I'm not being served by a 75-year-old man with, you know, or with like who's eating the lox as he's preparing the bagel.
Yeah, the guy we say
from Tabachnik's.
Right.
What's that fly doing in my soup? The backstroke, right? You don't have that guy working for you.
But Les, so the parboil, you developed that, you worked on that with Essa, you're piloting it at this scale, and you're getting all bagels. Give us the variety of the bagels you're getting.
So right now we're getting 8 flavors of bagels and 8 flavors of cream cheese.
Because you have to have the accoutrements along with it.
Exactly. So that's the base build.
What are the 8 flavors?
So we have pumpernickel, whole wheat everything, cinnamon raisin.
Sesame.
Sesame.
And plain.
Plain.
Yep,
yeah.
Plain.
And the cream cheeses, we have lox, we have scallion, plain, strawberry, blueberry, jalapeno. I mean, and then what we're going to do is work with them to add more flavors. So right. As they can put
like
this
poppy,
in their production
like poppy line, seed.
Poppy seed, yes. Garlic, onion, bialys.
Yes.
Everybody's been asking me for certain things.
Like bialys.
Who's
like
been asking, bialys. By the way? Who's been asking?
Actually,
mostly East Coasters?
Arnie is the fourth person to ask me for bialys.
Yes.
So I'm working on that feverishly to get it out here for everybody.
Yes.
I've been asked specifically for garlic and onion.
Yes.
So I'm working on that as well.
So I have to point out to Scott, and he knows this, that when you're from Staten Island, Brooklyn, you say bialys.
Right.
When you're from Long Island, you say bialys. I just want you to know that's the difference.
Wait a minute. So, that's true, you know. A Bronx accent is not a Brooklyn accent.
That's correct.
It's not
that's right.
Right. Right.
That's but
exactly
that's for
right.
Our audience. They're just hearing New Yorkers.
So
New Jersey.
You have opened the door to like Valhalla for us.
For Scott and Arnie.
Because now there's the possibility of the other kinds of ethnic foods, both Italian and, you know, from Eastern Europe and you know, Jewish oriented, to come in. Like, you know, like you're bringing in cannolis and you have pastas from Ferrara's, from Little Italy. We're talking about, you know, knishes, and we're talking about pastrami.
This is in the R&D plans, right? The development plans.
I mean, those are all things that you can't, there's not within 400 miles of Montana.
Exactly. And it's not just Montana. It's really the whole Western United States cannot get a New York bagel because of the water content and the generational experience. These people have been rolling bagels for 80 years.
Right.
There is no comparison to someone who just learned it last week.
Right.
Right. It's a, like you said, a recipe that's handed down.
Right.
And it's handed down generationally. So that's what makes it so special.
Let's talk a little bit more about the savory side of the business. So the bagels and the spreads, do you have lox?
Yes. We actually are getting lox from the number one lox maker, smoker in Brooklyn. Let me guess.
It's Acme.
Acme lox.
That's right.
That's right.
Are you going to get whitefish?
We are trying to. We need to figure out. Well, we need to figure out how to get it out of here.
Well, Acme makes whitefish salad in a 2-pound tub, which some Costcos sell.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
They don't. See, somebody got so excited about the 2-pound tubs of whitefish. Yeah, that I know when I was in Las Vegas, I saw it. So there's a way to get it here from Acme. Yes.
What I'd like to do, though, is get it from Esa Bagel, who makes it themselves.
Ah.
So we are working on that. Something real deal from them. So that's in the works as well.
I asked this when I first met Les. Can we have an accompanying chicken salad and tuna salad, potentially, which goes great with the bagels? And then I could have a lunchtime situation there.
Well, that would be a good addition.
We added the tuna already.
You did?
Yes. So tuna is available.
Who's making it?
Me.
Locally. Okay.
Locally. And we are going to expand into other items as well for lunchtime.
Fantastic.
We are bringing in antipasto salad, olive salads, grilled chicken, and roasted pepper salads. We are bringing in, we're going to have an Italian bagel. Which is prosciutto. It's a prosciutto, mozzarella, and balsamic vinaigrette.
Really?
On an everything bagel.
Oh, that sounds great.
It's delicious.
Scott's going to move the headquarters of the radio station right there. Store. There'll be a tunnel connecting it. I don't want to overlook the fact, though, because this is important for us, that we have an Italian component of this that's equally as exciting.
Yes.
There are no cannolis here. You have Italian cheesecake. You have Italian pastas in the store. You're bringing in some other. So how does that part of the business look like as we move forward?
Yeah, so I knew Ferrara's Bakery because I used to hang out in Little Italy. I used to eat there all the time. And I knew the guys there. So we worked it out where all that stuff can be brought out here, just like we're doing with Esa Bagel. So we have the cheesecakes. We have chocolate truffle cake, which is to die for. Tiramisu cake, tiramisu cups, rainbow cookies. We're bringing in lobster tails, cannoli.
Lobster tails?
Yes. Lobster tails.
Cookies.
We'll be in on this truck coming in next week.
Nice.
And we are just adding and adding to it as we go. Ferrara's has been in business 130 years.
Yes.
With these recipes are from Italy. The pastas and the sauces are from Italy. They're not from the United States.
Right.
The coffee beans are from Italy, northern Italy, by Venice.
How are they being shipped here? So they're being
by boat.
Boat to New York and
to
then
New York and then they're shipped truck. To me. I have my own truck that goes to New York and picks everything up.
Really?
And brings it out. Yes.
That's a 2,200-mile schlep.
That's
as
right.
As we say in the business.
Well, like I said, if you're going to do it, you have to do it 100%.
Right.
It's got to be the real deal and it's got to be done right.
I agree with
you. Where did you come from, Les? This is like this is actually answering all of our prayers, Arnie.
Well, instead of having to make a trip to New York to get some of these sorts
of
things,
or Gold Belly,
but I think his point is very valid on this. It's not just Missoula. It's not just the two of us.
The West.
You got a city like Boise, Spokane, hundreds of thousands of people. Many of them who have come from the East Coast or have spent time there and are familiar with. You know, the ethnic foods in the Italian, area and the Jewish area. And now they'll have an opportunity to experience it, firsthand, in person, at home, in their hometown.
But for it to land in our town, where you and I are, is meant
to be.
It's
a miracle.
It's Beshert.
It's a miracle.
It's Beshert.
It's like the,
it's
Beshert.
It's like when the Red Sea's parted.
This is
there
meant to be.
There was Missoula at the end of it.
And it's meant to be. So Les took me on a tour of his facility when I first won grand opening. Did you go take a tour?
I haven't taken a tour, but I obviously have to go. Product. Plus he has where you can't find, even more exotic for us here.
Right.
Is Fox's You Bet Syrup. Which is the main component of egg creams, which many of our listeners may not
what
know
is an
what
egg
it
cream?
Is. An egg cream used to be a working class version of a fancy soda. It was just milk, seltzer, and chocolate syrup, but it would foam up like it was a milkshake or a malt. It gave you that kind of experience, but it was done with three basic ingredients. Seltzer, milk, and originally, when they first made them 100 years ago, they put a little egg yolk in it to make it foam up. But later on, they figured out, you know, with different kinds of milk, that homogenized milk, and with the Fox's syrup, they could do it with only those three ingredients.
What made you decide to bring that to Brooklyn Bagel?
Well, when I committed to doing this, I said it's got to be the only someone from New York would know Fox's, would know Acme Locks, would know. Someone had to have lived and tasted this their whole life to understand the quality that needs to be bought out here. You can't just take something off a shelf and say, here, I'm going to resell it for $6. Listen, I'm not going to do something that isn't 100% correct, like I just said before. And everything has to be the number one bagel maker, the number one pastry maker, the number one syrup. Everything has to be the best to bring out here. And that's what my customers expect. And that's what I want to give them. And I'm trying to give it to every single person that comes in that store the best experience possible at the most reasonable cost.
When you're not in the store, though, who articulates this
idea? It's so funny you mention that, because I have a bunch of younger adults, older teenagers working there. But I did all the training.
Right.
So I explained to them where this all came from and how it came about and what these things are. And now I walk in the restaurant, the bakery, and I hear them yelling across the back of the house, hey, get the cannolis. We got to go fill them.
They're getting informal. Yeah.
And they know it. And they picked it up so quick. I see them in the back cutting the locks into the slices. And the care that they're doing, it has to be perfect. And they understand the story of where, like, if you go ask them, why is a New York bagel so different? They know that.
They can articulate that.
Exactly.
Do you feel like, because this is a very Western mentality too, by the way, is the frontiersman of bringing the East to the West. And can't believe it took this long to create this market for this food.
Well, you know, as you know, back in Montana's early history, there was a huge Chinese population.
Because right.
The Chinese helped build the railroad and worked in the mines. And so they opened Chinese restaurant. The oldest continually operating Chinese restaurant in the United States is in Butte, Montana. And it was because they had to feed the 600 Chinese.
That was a laugh of somebody who's like, I can't believe it's going to be good.
Well, yeah. now that the Montana population is getting more homogenized in the sense of people from the East Coast and the West Coast and, you know, moving here to not only Missoula, but Bozeman and Whitefish, and they have a different palate. And they're looking to have some of the food experiences.
Exactly.
And so Les is a pioneer in that sense.
He is.
Of catering to the new population.
Jacob Leshner.
That has an appetite for these things.
Well, and the whole thing is this, right? So, like, it was always logistics. The logistics is key to anything. And even in war or anything, logistics will either save you or sink you.
Right.
So if you can work the logistics out, which I was luckily able to do, and it's not perfect yet, but it's good enough to get the food here. And then, like I said to you guys earlier, we are going to build a cold storage facility to be able to service more areas and have more product on hand. So my goal is to never run out of anything.
And have a distribution point.
Exactly.
Right. So that it comes into Missoula and then it goes to Kalispell or it goes to Bozeman. Or
Coeur d'Alene or Spokane or wherever.
Right.
Hey, I own Firehouse Subs in Coeur d'Alene and Spokane. And in both those places, they want this as well.
How did you get into the food biz?
Well, I looked at it like, and it's so funny you mention it, because when I was growing up and seeing New York restaurant owners, I never wanted to own a restaurant.
Right.
I was like, these guys work 26 hours a day, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But it was such a good buy-in to, you know, being a part of the community. With Firehouse, I have to say, their public safety foundation and the money we give back to the community really attracted me to the brand. Plus, the food spoke for itself. I'm not a good salesman. You know, the food is phenomenal and top quality as well. And that's what pulled me in at first to run my own business.
Sure.
Then from there, I just, you know, COVID hit and the opportunity just came to me as far as, you know, expanding. Well,
you're in the
more.
Food business. People come in and talk to you about food, right? They say, exactly. How come we can't have this?
But
well, I want this.
I think I was doomed from the beginning, because being born in New York, you're going to be in food no matter what you do.
Right.
So my, you know, like I said, I was raised Jewish and Italian. So
your mother's
both sides
Italian,
of the family,
right?
Yeah, both sides of the family are throwing food at me. And I know how to cook sauce. I know how to do all this stuff. It was inevitable. So as much as I didn't want to do it.
There's so many questions we have. So when you were growing up in Brooklyn, and we talked about sports teams you liked, right?
Yeah.
You talked about your passions, food and other things, and working in the financial services sector, which is what most people do when they're there, either that or media.
Well, what was funny was I started off building subway cars.
Did you?
In the Navy Yard in Brooklyn.
Oh, my God.
When I was an older teenager. Because if you remember back in the day, you know, not everybody finished high school in New York.
Right.
You joined the union.
Right.
And you went to work. And that's what I did. I went to work at like 16 and a half, and I wound up building trains in the Navy Yard.
You're kidding.
For like 3 years. And then I went to the Marines after that. I got my GED eventually and went to college and all that. But, you know, at the beginning, it was you were in local whatever and get the hell out and go to work.
So I forgot to ask you this because when New Yorkers meet each other, we discuss. So I went to PS 115, 172, and 186. Which PS did you go to?
I went to PS 1, PS 8, and PS 5, IS 24, Curtis High
Public School.
Yeah.
But I have to tell our listeners that in New York, there's so many public schools that they name them PS by numbers.
Yeah.
So you know, when you're in junior high school, you can't root for your team because your team is PS 115. It's kind of hard to root for that. But the high schools are all named.
Exactly.
So LaGuardia High School or Erasmus.
Yeah.
These famous high schools.
Right.
Yep.
James Monroe, Madison. Yeah, you know, I mean, all those. They were great high schools.
Do people, so you've been out here for a number of years. Do they come out and visit you? Do people come out and visit Montana?
Oh, yeah.
The East Coasters?
Yeah, my family comes out and visits.
What
and
do they think?
They're awestruck by just the beauty of the place. And like I said earlier, the people here are second to none. The nicest people on earth, genuinely.
Agreed.
Nice.
Yes.
And I just love it. And I'm trying to get my family to come out, but as you know, in New York, I have a whole bunch of brothers and sisters and my mother. Everybody lives on one block. They own the whole block.
Right.
So it's like, and there's a ton of grandkids. And my sister's a New York cop, so it's hard to just pick up and move
out.
What
does she think of Eric Adams?
No comment.
Yeah, the cops aren't crazy about that.
Well, Eric is a flashy, kind of iconoclastic guy.
Yes, he is.
He just had a segment on 60 Minutes this past week about him, and he's one of a kind. But, you know, a lot of mayors are one of a kind in New York.
Exactly.
You know, Ed Giuliani. Cox is one of a kind.
How am I doing?
You know, Rudy, Rudy. You know, number them.
Rudy Gazzuti.
Well, and the whole thing is that people just really, really need to know that first responders in general are great people.
Yes.
Yes.
There's that 0.00001% that is bad. And the whole, you can't just microcosm everybody into that one bowl.
No.
Right.
Because we're just hurting ourselves doing that. My sister's a prime example. She really cares about that. And she works midnight to 8 in Midtown Manhattan.
That's
which is a supremely dangerous time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I'm worried about her all the time, but she's there helping and caring.
I mean,
people.
I will never forget for the rest of my life the valor and the determination of the firemen and others who went into went into 9/11 and knew what they were getting themselves into and still did it.
Yeah.
You know, and Bruce Springsteen, created a great song, about
the Rising.
Where were you
during 9/11?
Were you in the Marines? Well, it was ironic. I had moved to Florida for a little while to work with Citi.
Uh-huh.
6 months before the towers came down. My wife worked up on Kenta Fitzgerald.
Wow.
And I was under the Trade Center every day at 8:45. So 6 months later, we were out of there. And
you were gone.
Happened. Yeah. And a lot of my friends were firemen from Staten Island and,
Pete Davidson did his move. Did you see the King of Staten Island?
Yeah.
So well done.
Yeah.
I was there 9/11 to work for AOL with a lot of people that I work with here at Town Square. It will forever be burned into my mind, my memory.
Right.
Right.
It's awful.
I mean, if any first responders in the U.S. have had a storied and well-deserved, history, it's the New York City first responders.
That's right.
And only to be, matched by what's going on in the Ukraine right now and some of the valor that's being demonstrated there.
Absolutely. I was going to say something which is really important. You kind of brought it up when you talked about your family in Brooklyn. They're all on the same block. The sense of family and the sense of, service to the community is something that is very New York, New Jersey, tri-state area. That's the world I grew up in.
That's right.
So family supports each other. They may not always agree with each other. In fact, disagreeing is part of being a family, is kind of working through, right?
Yeah, it is.
All the issues.
Arguing.
But I think that that walks hand in hand with, you know, in the service business, in service of people, food, right? Like, food is comfort. Food is happiness. Food is sustenance. And that's where you're devoting so much of your resources and your time now. It started as you were growing up.
That's right. I mean, we used to hang out. You guys are from New York, you know.
Yeah.
We had our neighborhood hangout. I would go to Angelo's in Little Italy and hang out there. I would die for their lobster ravioli. And then I go to Ferrara's for, you know, espresso and cake and all that. And it was just that, like you said, that sense of, you know, you belong to the whole city, you know.
And, exactly.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I think over the years that at least in New York is that an entertainer like Billy Joel has been so popular and so long lasting is because his music talked about going to the Parkway Diner or going. I mean, a lot of food and being in the community and conversations about what that life is like. Almost all of his songs had that kind of element to it.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm trying to bring out here.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to bring here, both with Firehouse and with the Brooklyn Bagel Place, is I want people to feel like they could come and hang out.
Right.
My patios are already have the chairs out on the table.
I'll have business meetings there.
Yeah. And it just, you know, hang out, have some coffee, relax, talk to your friends, you know, and just,
You don't have a hangout here. Really. You know, in New York, every time wherever you lived in New York, you had a hangout, right?
Yes.
The place you go and have breakfast or you'd have a coffee and you'd know everybody
exactly.
And you'd say, how you doing? And in the small towns like Montana, they have that. And here it's a little bit, but it really doesn't exist in the same way.
Right.
Agreed.
It doesn't even have to be my restaurant. It's just, you know, everybody should... Having that brings the community together, and especially in a place like Missoula where we have so many different people coming in now.
Yep.
It's just a good thing to have those type of, like, you know, businesses should open up and have a social area where people can hang out and mingle and get to know each other, you know? Remember the guys playing chess and checkers in the park and sitting on their lounge chairs and, you know?
No, it the sense of community, the sense of family, the sense of how food brings people together. And also you're bringing up a really good point, which is we have to unplug, right? So if we're sitting there and talking at an outdoor table and having a coffee together, slow things down a little bit, have a conversation. Texting and technology, I don't want to appear like a Luddite because I'm not a Luddite, but sometimes you got to unplug.
Yeah.
And so this allows you to do that, right?
Right. And it also is a connection to your roots a little bit for those people that are here that have, you know, migrated here, you know, from the East Coast. And there's more and more of those all the time.
You know who I sent to Brooklyn Bagel?
Who?
A Mother Mary Maynard.
Yes.
And I said, you need to check this out. She goes, well, how could it be good? Because it's being reheated. It's not being prepared on the premises. I'm like, you got to taste this.
It's a magic formula.
She wrote me back and she goes, this is incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. How about that?
Well, the other thing is, you know, there's a lot of university students here who, you know, come from other places and want to, you know, and are used to something that we haven't had here.
Yeah. And what's funny is that I've got Brooklyn Bagel and Bakery was the one place I never had problem getting anybody to work. And all the labor issues. I had people lining up to work there. So it's been a blessing that in that sense, too.
I think young people get it. His staff, meeting your staff, they're all excited to be there.
Yes. And it is such a new concept. And they know that if this is successful, which it is turning out to be, you know, knock on wood, you know, we will continue to grow. And I would love to just bring that type of feeling to, you know, wherever we put one of these. Listen, America is so divided. America is so, you know, people stay in their homes. Come out, have some coffee. Don't even get some. Just sit outside on the patio. I don't care. You know, and get to know each other again.
I love that. I love that. We will do that. You and I should have a weekly meeting there.
Sure.
A prep meeting for our show.
Yeah.
You got to get him. See, he's up in his the crow's nest or the eagle's nest up on Butler Creek.
No. I'm back out. I mean, that's the reason I'm, you know, leaving on Sunday for 3 weeks. To sort of hang out and, you know, and go to Yankee and Met games and, and to walk the streets. I just came back from Paris and London, and one of the things about that trip was it made me feel good because the streets were alive.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it was packed.
Yep.
You know, I was there over that long Easter weekend in Europe. They celebrated from Thursday night till Monday night.
Right.
And I was in London during that time. And Covent Garden, where all the theaters, the theater district in London and the West End, was just teeming with people. And it felt great to see.
To get out.
Well, the diversity, you know, the community, everybody in a, you know, everybody in a good frame of mind, happy, you know. The weather was nice. It was probably a record. You know, 5 straight days in London. The
sun
blue,
was out.
Blue wow. sky.
It was yeah, like that is a record.
And the people were taking off their clothes and climbing into the fountains. You know, because it was
really
little kid. You know, mostly kids and stuff. It was just great. And
like
and,
a being.
And it harkened back to as a kid getting on the New York subway, going from Queens into Manhattan, coming up and seeing. The, you know, the life going on. It was almost like a music video,
exactly.
You know, of all the action and activity. And there's something energizing about that. Yeah. Some people, are, you know, I talk to people from smaller towns around Montana and other places who say, you know, I don't like me. It's too hectic or it's too busy for me because they weren't
the city.
Raised in that. But for other people that have been raised there, it's energizing. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel happy. It makes you feel alive.
Except when you get into a car. And you got to drive from LaGuardia to Manhattan.
But what's so funny is that people make fun of me driving from Columbia Falls to here. It takes me about an hour and a half, hour 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Going from Staten Island to Midtown, 15 miles took 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And I was like, in this view, forget about it.
Yeah,
Do you have family here, by the way? Do you have a...
I have my wife and my son.
Okay. Yes. And they're up in Columbia Falls?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so when you come down here, do you go back? You go back at night to Columbia Falls?
Sometimes I stay over. Sometimes I go back. It just depends. Yeah.
We need to. I have so many ideas for you, Les. You need to, you know, the downtown hotels. Imagine if they had the Brooklyn Bagel making deliveries there, doing catering. Right. You do catering, right?
Actually, we're going to be on Easy Cater shortly.
Okay.
Which is the corporate website for that.
So key.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the AC Hotel downtown would be perfect.
Andy, who we're going to introduce you to when he comes back into town, is the developer of the AC Hotel and the Residence Inn. He's from Arizona originally, but his whole family's in the culinary arts field.
Right.
And he's in hospitality and real estate.
Well, he has to be careful, though.
He appreciates this, though.
He wants to be, there's got a quality control issue. You don't want his bagels sitting around at a breakfast buffet for an hour and get stale.
I want to have, he should cater meetings.
Meetings.
There.
The meetings. Catering part is the good part.
They got to go to Brooklyn Bagel for the meal. Right. But,
see, we're already taking over your business.
We do the catering. We have bagel platters. And we also have pastry platters as well, cake platters. So you could have a variety of cakes, a variety of pastries.
When you say platters, what's included in the platter?
A platter serves 12 people. So you might have six chocolate cannolis, six regular. Now with the lobster tail, some rainbow cookies, some pignoli.
So a dessert platter. What's a bagel platter?
A bagel platter a basic one is 2 flavors of bagels and 1 flavor of cream cheese, enough to do all of them. A deluxe is 4 different flavors and a couple different versions of cream cheese.
Sliced tomato and onion and lettuce and cucumber?
You could have that on your sandwich, yes.
So now when I'm on death row here in Montana...
Red onion.
And they said to me, what do you want for your last meal? I could say, give me the pumpernickel bagel and a cannoli, and I'm good to go.
And soon to be lox, whitefish, tuna
all the
salad,
other things,
which is exciting.
Which is exciting.
I am excited that Les... by the way, our guest is Les Kleiman from Brooklyn Bagel and Firehouse, but really we're talking about Brooklyn Bagel right now.
You know, he is a pioneer, which is, you know, what Montana's been built on, pioneer spirit.
Yes.
Because he recognized from the very beginning, it's not just Missoula and Bozeman. It's this whole inland northwest region that has a big population when you had, you know, Bozeman and Coeur d'Alene and Spokane and other towns that doesn't have these products available.
Well, what's so unique since COVID hit is that the northwest is the number one real estate market in the whole country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Missoula is the number one construction market right now in the United States.
Yes.
Yes.
Coeur d'Alene, Billings, all these locations.
Yeah, I mean, Billings 100,000 people.
Yeah.
They don't have this.
And, you know, listen.
We seem smart moving
here. We're talking
here
about New York and the memories, and it is great, but I love being in Montana. And
yeah. Me too.
I really want to bring that food out here as a gift, basically.
Yeah.
You know, to say, here, this is what real cheesecake tastes like, real bagels taste like. Enjoy.
You know? And I know we talked about this off air, but the next frontier for you is Italian food, prepared Italian food. A restaurant here. We need a restaurant in Missoula that is a great Italian restaurant where I can get a chicken parm and a veal parm sandwich. And I mean, is that not nirvana for us, Arnie?
Yes, well, you know, Montana's come a long way. When I first started working at the university and I was living in Stevensville 25 years ago, 97. Yeah,
Marie's.
When I drove, people would say to me, where do you eat? And I would say gas stations. Because that was the only restaurants along the route, basically, right. That were open, you know, early in the morning. Like, were gas stations. So I was eating once a day at a gas station, which I had never done before. You know, some of the stuff was, you know, it was not unedible, but it was not what I had in mind when I came here. And it's now taken 25 years, you know, for the restaurant scene to build up. We got a vibrant restaurant scene now compared to even just 10
right,
years ago.
Right.
Or even when you came. And now these things that Les is bringing here are really bringing us to a point where we are, we're cosmopolitan in the way we ought to be cosmopolitan.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and before the Italian restaurant, we actually are bringing in some newer items coming up shortly. Potato pancakes, sweet potato pancakes, knishes, antipasto salad, olive salads, and more stuff from Italy. So,
yeah,
you know, I just plan on bringing whatever
makes
sense. What's
the address, by the way?
The address is 2665 North Reserve. It's right in the mountain.
Was it right?
The Mountain bank. America Credit Union.
For our listeners who are driving, down Reserve Street, when you see Firehouse, which you can see from Reserve, Brooklyn Bagel's right next door.
Right,
right. And by the way, the other thing that's really nice is that the prices are reasonable. I was saying to Les, a baker's dozen is $17.99.
$17.46.
Arnie, it's such a deal.
Well, you know, if you get a baker's dozen at Essa Bagel in New York, it's the same price.
Actually,
is it really?
It's more.
I think you're right. I think it's slightly more.
It's more.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to do is...
Why is that less?
I don't want to, like, rob anybody.
Right.
I want to bring the food out here at a reasonable rate, make a little bit of a profit, but I really just... You know, my customers from Firehouse all asked me for this from Kalispell to Missoula, and I said, listen, if we can do it, we will. And that's basically it. I don't listen, you go and order a cheesecake from Ferrara's online, it's $74.
Right.
That's insane.
Yeah, you go to Gold Belly.
You go to us, it's $36.
Right.
So and it's not thrown around the truck.
Well,
he's run into
the typical Montana situation where they find out you're from New York and they say, can you get me? You know, can you do this?
Right.
Because we don't have it here.
Right.
Even if they're not from New York, there are people here that have visited New York and say, boy, I love getting blah, 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 and you can't get it here now. So can you get it for me? And so it's a perfect conduit.
I think it is. I think the offices in town, right? The office, the lawyer's offices, the accountant offices.
The tourists in the summer.
This is his audience. It's everybody. They all want a taste of New York.
You know, the fly fishing guides. There are a lot of New Yorkers and East Coast people and West Coast people. Can't leave out California. The Californians have the same kind of appetites and the same kind
They do.
They have the same interest in good Italian food and, you
they
know,
do.
Pizza bagels. And, you know, when my cousin Eileen comes and visits from L.A., she's going to want a good bagel, you know, and you know, we now have one.
We have a great bagel.
Yeah, and what's so fun is that it's our own concept. It's brand new. We can play with it like our cookies, the rainbow cookies and the cannolis. We actually just made a grab-and-go sack. So there's three cookies in each sack. If you just want a few cookies, you could just take those at a reasonable cost and run out.
Are you still bringing the bagels in the boxes, or are you going to get bags for those bagels?
Well, the bagels are actually in bags in the boxes.
I see, okay.
And it'll stay that way because even though the boxes are a pain,
right?
It helps preserve. It's sturdy.
Oh, the form.
Enough.
Okay,
right.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't want to compromise on that.
Les is like...
He's a pioneer. He's in the Montana pioneer spirit.
This is truly pioneering.
21st century pioneer. I think back to when Fort Benton was the end of the line for the steamships that came out of Kansas City and St. Louis to the west. And Fort Benton, Montana, which I don't know if you've been there, was a very small little town, was the gateway and served the entire... the entire fur trade in the Pacific Northwest. And I looked at some of the, in the museum there, they were talking about back in those days that they were bringing in things that people were craving who were here, like oysters and peaches and stuff that they didn't have in Montana, because when the local people and the miners and the other people that had come here to populate and work in the, you know, in the days of fur trade and later on mining, they had food experiences from other places.
That's right.
So they would ask the trading company there, can you get me a peach? Can you get me? So Les is just the 21st century version of that. People come into Firehouse and say, this is all great, but can you get me a bagel? Can you get me a cannoli?
Well, he's delivering on the sandwich. Now they're asking you for more things.
So it's sort of like the 21st century replication of what happened here in the early days of the state of Montana.
Les, we're going to put you on the spot because we ask this to all of our guests. Other than Italian and bagels, okay, is there a food that you grew up with that you love that you can't get out here?
Yeah, it would be definitely Chinese food. Dumplings from Chinatown. Dumplings.
We knew that.
Oh,
And the egg rolls.
Yeah.
Have you found anything from a Chinese restaurant perspective that you could say, okay, this is serviceable? This is, and what's the dish that you judge it based on?
I would say there's a place in Kalispell, Chinatown restaurant.
Okay.
And their chicken and broccoli is actually pretty good.
Chicken and broccoli.
Yeah.
Got it.
And, you know, the chicken is pure white meat chicken.
Yes.
And the broccoli and, you know, the rice is cooked correctly. It's odd. And I would compare it to semi-New York. I mean, there was a place in Staten Island, Tai Chi. Yeah, it was just phenomenal.
It's called Tai Chi?
It used to be. It's been closed for years.
I'll tell you what, an eye-opening experience, a pleasant surprise. I was in London. I wanted some Chinese food. So I went to this tea house, Min's Tea House, and I asked for fried rice. And they brought out a fried rice that I have to say was the best fried rice I've ever had.
Really? Wow. What are you talking about?
Let me tell you.
How much was it?
Well,
how many euros?
12 euros. Well, it was a great, it was 12 great British pounds. It was fried rice with an inch thick layer of egg that had been, you know, scrambled and fried on it.
Oh.
And then it had peas and carrots in the rice. And then on top of that layer, they had a layer, was crispy pork belly instead of the pork pieces, crispy pork belly.
Wow.
And the flavors, you know, when you mixed it all up together, was just phenomenal.
Really? In London?
In London.
Or Chinatown in Kalispell.
Or Chinatown.
By the way, China Buffet here in Missoula.
Yeah.
Not the buffet, the kitchen. Kathy and I have been ordering from there. Not bad.
Really?
You have to go, you have to order
from
the
kitchen. Have you got China Garden?
Yes.
They have a couple of dishes in China Garden.
I'm going to say it's better. And better than bamboo chopsticks, too.
Right.
Lolo. Okay, so Chinese, have a pizza.
Well, there's a place in Staten Island, actually, that it was a family-owned trattoria.
Right.
I really like their Sicilian personal size ones.
Yes.
Like we were talking about earlier.
You're going to make
If those. I could work that out, I'm definitely bringing it. The personal size Sicilian, which is thin crust, the Sicilian sauce, prosciutto, artichoke hearts, you know, all the gorgonzola cheese. Actually, we just got gorgonzola over at the bakery.
We don't have to ever
and
cook
we're
again.
We're going to put gorgonzola on with the prosciutto as well, besides the mozzarella.
Are you kidding me?
No.
And you're going to bring gorgonzola. Semolina bread, you said, right?
Yeah, I'm looking to bring semolina bread as
well.
Can
you do that the same way? Can it be parboiled?
That's what we're going to do. We're going to try it as a par-bake procedure
and
see if it works. We're going to test it out.
Les Kleiman is a pioneer.
Well, you know what bagel? Other thing you can't get in a decent here in a restaurant? I mean, you can make me. It's a hot dog. A good hot dog with good sauerkraut and good, you know.
All right, all right. Well, I'll talk to Nathan's.
That's Snaps. No, Katz's.
Katz's hot dogs are better than Nathan's.
Yes,
I have to tell you that.
It has to snap.
Yeah, it has to snap.
And it has to be grilled, not boiled.
That's right.
Yeah. It's got to
no
be grilled,
boil.
Not boiled. Not, right?
No.
Yeah.
Arnie, literally for the last 10 years since we've known each other, 9 years, he and I would both take trips back east and say, this is what I'm eating now. This is what I'm eating now. And he would send pictures.
Well,
pictures.
You know, and people that seek quality, like, for example, when I was in Paris, the hotel I stayed at, the Bristol, has its own mill in the basement of the hotel.
Uh-huh.
And every morning they mill their own wheat, make their own stuff, and they're croissants that they make are exactly, you know, what they're supposed to be. And win the award, they shatter. You know, a good croissant is supposed to, like,
yes,
not flake, just shatter, and then the inside's got to be perfectly soft and buttery and all. And they make their own, all of their best
in
breads
London.
They make. No, this is in Paris.
Oh, this is in Paris. Yeah. The best croissant I've ever had is in London.
Really?
Near Harrods. Yeah, like,
well,
a
Harrods,
little,
you know.
Like a little French bakery right there in London.
Well, you know, in Paris, they're fond of rating everything. So they always have the best croissant place, the best
right.
The best egg place, you know, that kind of stuff.
Did you travel when you were with the armed forces?
Yeah, when I was in the Marines, I was stationed over in the Pacific. I was in Okinawa, and I did Westpac tours. So
wow.
I traveled to, like, Thailand and, you know, Hong Kong and all that, Korea.
So you know good
and
food.
Then I was an embassy guard for 30 months. So
where was that?
Caracas, Venezuela, back in the early 90s.
Wow.
Before Hugo Chavez. And in Israel, Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv was just phenomenal.
Great food
I
in
loved
Tel Aviv.
It. Oh, yeah.
I like
and the
I
beach.
Like
and,
the beach. Yeah, people don't realize that you think about Israel in a desert, but they're on an ocean.
Right.
Exactly.
There's a beach, and it's a beautiful beach.
And the most sophisticated agricultural system.
Were you there when they had the nightclub called Lehman Brothers? Do you remember that nightclub? They had a lot of nightclubs. After Lehman Brothers folded.
Oh, really?
You know, in 2008, they opened a nightclub in Tel Aviv called Lehman Brothers.
Yeah, I was there in the, like, mid-90s.
Mid-90s, it was earlier, yeah.
Les, the most important thing is, as a pioneer with Brooklyn Bagel over on North Reserve, we need people to go there because we want a lot of throughput.
Yeah.
Throughput's the key for restaurants, right?
Yeah.
The more you serve, the more everything comes in. What can we do to help you, right? Other than get the word out and with the catering and with the consumer side of things, you tell us, because Arnie and I are at your service. Okay. We know people.
And we have a network of people.
Just keep eating.
Yeah, we will
keep
eating.
Well, a number of our listeners always like when we bring food people on.
Yeah, they do. They want to know this.
We have several chefs, cooks that have talked to me. They say, I like when you guys talk about food.
Right. Well, the thing is, I just want to tell you this, is that a lot of people that I've talked to about you ought to go there, they think that, well, it's just a bagel. That they can get is a bagel. So, I don't really, you know, I'll go there, but I don't really need a. I said, no, there's more. There's a lot more there. There's Italian, you know. So I think, you know, while the name is good to identify as East Coast Bagel, I think there has to be an effort to let people know there's lots of other products.
Yeah. And actually, as we, like I said, it's such a new concept. We might transition the name into, like, a New York specialty foods.
No more New York gourmet or something
like that.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break in our remaining 2 minutes. Let's wrap up with Les. We have so much to talk about, but let's take a real quick break. Back after this. Arnie, we're back with Les Kleinman.
So again, Les, for our listeners who haven't been there, tell them where you are. Tell them what the website information is, how to find out and take a look at what you have, and get them mobilized to kind of come and visit you.
Yeah, sure. So we're right by Home Depot and Firehouse Subs. We're at 2865 North Reserve. Our website is brooklynbagelbakery.com.
Right.
And I communicate a lot on there with our customers as far as, like, all the new things that are coming.
Good.
So you can go there. You could order online from our website.
Perfect.
And you could order via Uber and DoorDash as well.
Oh, you're doing those?
Yes. Uber and DoorDash are up and running.
You have to, right?
For
right now. Got
and then
it.
Easy Cater will be coming next for the corporate clients. And then, like I said, if you check our website, which we've been getting a lot of traction on, we're up to like 12,000 hits in a week.
Oh, my God.
And people are really interested. And I love communicating with our guests to say, listen, you asked for this. This is what's coming. So I'm like, everybody who asked on the website and in person, I'm trying to get whatever you want. And we'll definitely keep announcing as we grow our menu.
And for our listeners, this is not a franchise. This is Les's own creation. This is Missoula's own, and it's locally grown.
By the way, did Arnie tell you this, that when we found out you were coming, we kept on researching to figure out if it was going to be a chain, right? Because I told you, there's a Brooklyn Bagel down in Boca Raton.
You know,
right.
We had Einstein Bagel here for a while, and it didn't hold downtown.
Right.
So.
Right.
Einstein would have been rolling in his grave had he been to Einstein Bagel.
Yes, I know. That's why it's not here.
Exactly.
Didn't pass the mustard, so
there's
to
a
speak.
Lot of reasons. But Brooklyn Bagel and Bakery is here, and we're really happy about that. Les, you got to come in again, because as you're bringing more food in, Arnie and I want to be a part of that. Yes. We're going to be your test market.
Yeah,
of course. And I appreciate you guys and coming by and supporting me. And
we will.
I just love this community. So hopefully we'll.
Well, we're happy to have you and opened, and we're excited to see how the business grows and takes root.
Yeah, we're so excited. Anyway, Les, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Arnie, I will see you next week.
See you next week, Scott. Take care.
Thank you for listening to What Do You Know?
I can't wait for the next show, Scott.
I'm excited too, Arnie. If you'd like to suggest a guest, send me an email at scottrichman@townsquaremedia.com. We'll see you next week. And thanks for listening to News Talk KGVO.